This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The American economy, watching the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, the chairman. Wall Street Journal reporting, Powell signals rate cut coming into view, but declines to say when. A story we've watched for some time develop. You will all recall that at the beginning of 2024, there were multiple cuts presumed from the Federal Reserve. Three was the number I remember. In the winter, that went up to speculation on Wall Street as high as seven. And then with mixed numbers from the economy in the spring, late winter, early spring, plunged to nothing happening. And then it coasted along to one. Now we're watching Mr. Powell wait for what? I welcome Liz Peek. She writes a column for The Hill, a column for Fox News, much on Fox Business, because watching the Federal Reserve is a sport. It's like tennis. You watch the ball go back and forth, and then at some point, a number of people cheer. A very good day to you, Liz. All right, the ball's going fast into the court of the defending champion. How are we doing on the Federal Reserve moving after all this talk? Good evening to you, Liz.
Good evening, John. Well, the Federal Reserve is celebrating the fact that recent inflation readings have headed towards 2%, their acknowledged target. But Jay Powell went a step further yesterday, cheering markets, cheering investors, by saying that they didn't need to actually get to 2% before they started cutting rates. So that was taken as a pretty strong indication that September would see a rate cut, even though you and I and others have talked about the political significance and political overhang of the election. I was amused to hear analysts on Bloomberg yesterday talking about how, oh, Jay Powell is indifferent to politics, indifferent to election cycles. I don't believe it for a minute, but the answer is it will certainly behoove Joe Biden to get that now much-awaited rate cut in September. It'll probably juice markets. Although I would say this, John, at this point, cutting rates, lower interest rates, lower inflation is so baked into this market. I really wonder how much more the market trades higher, even if we do get a rate cut, and even if there is an indication of another rate cut to come in the fall. I mean, let's face it, the market has been anticipating this for a year and a half, and certainly expectations, to your point about the ball going back and forth over the net, expectations have been lowered and then raised and then lowered. But right now, where we are is an economy definitely slowing down, which is good news for rate cuts. Inflation definitely coming down, also good news. But there are two things that worry me about the inflation numbers. One is housing was a big part of why inflation was stubbornly high for some period of time, even as goods prices stopped accelerating. And housing has a many-month lag. It was a positive in the most recent report. But you have to say, looking at where house prices have been going, i.e. up, and rents, after a period of time where rents indeed did decline, in some cities, and the rate of increase certainly declined. Now that seems to have turned around too. So I'm not sure this housing improvement sticks. The reason that Joe Biden is out there talking about a truly terrible policy decision or proposal, which is to cap rent hikes, there is no guarantee of housing shortages better than capping rent hikes. Nonetheless, the reason he's out there talking about it is because rents keep going up. And young people in particular who are starting out, who are trying to buy a house and or rent a bigger apartment, are really feeling a pinch right now. That's probably the number one economic problem for young people who we know have defected from Joe Biden in droves. So I think that's a policy very much aimed at that cohort. But the reason he's doing it is because rents have not reversed. So I'm worried that that housing number is not going to be as, I don't know, beneficial over the next several months. And the second thing, which I wrote about last week, is oil. Oil prices are up substantially year over year. Gasoline prices are flat. The oil industry, to my knowledge, has never gone into charitable mode. They don't like to see margins pinched. In this period, I think we are going to see gasoline prices head higher. And again, that was a major plus for the latest reading on PCE and CPI. Gasoline prices were down month to month and year to year. I don't think that continues.
The puzzle about two things. One, rent control. They're talking about national rent control.
Yeah.
We haven't got time to talk about rent control other than the fact that those of us who've lived through it know that it damages everybody, not just the people who are outside looking in, rent control. The second about the oil market. In Europe, because they go with a different standard than our West Texas, the numbers have stayed high for some time. And the Biden administration is worried about that because sanctions were to be mitigated for fear that the price would spike higher. Is that no longer a concern by the Biden administration, gasoline going higher? Do they think they have it solved?
Well, right now, it is not making headlines. We don't have $5 per gallon gasoline, but gasoline has ticked higher. The reason oil prices have stayed relatively high is that OPEC Plus has cut back drastically, and really we're talking Saudi Arabia, very sharply on their output to keep prices high. Because so far that has not elicited the normal response of bigger drilling in the U.S. Drilling, the rig count's down in the United States because Joe Biden's policies have been so anti-oil. Oil prices clearly are high, too, because of the unsettled nature, if you will, of what's going on in the Middle East, the fact that you have conflicts and that the conflict in Gaza has threatened, that Israel is threatened with another war with Hezbollah. I mean, that all complicates shipping in the region. It complicates production. You know, at some point, certainly, if Donald Trump becomes president, he will enforce, because they're still in place, he will enforce the sanctions on Iran. That is something that would drive oil prices higher. But my guess is they would be willing to accept that in return for putting pressure on Iran, which, by the way, continues to fund the Houthis and Hezbollah and Hamas. And it isn't being written about very much anymore, but shipping in the region has still continued to be under attack from the Houthis. I mean, it's an incredible thing, and no one's really doing much about that. Other sphere where sanctions is very important is Russia. The effort to cap Russian oil at $60 has failed. China and other countries are getting around it very easily with a fleet of Russian unflagged vessels providing oil. So it hasn't really helped. You know, whether the Western world and the United States in particular is really willing to tackle trying to cut back on Russian production, I don't think so, because, again, the Biden administration is very fearful of higher oil prices.
Back to cuts, Federal Reserve. This is the fun part. There's a chart this morning provided by John Authors at Bloomberg. The source is Bloomberg World Interest Rate Probabilities. And you and I have discussed this, Liz. It's pointing back towards three cuts by the end of the world, the end of the year. Do you see that as credible, or is that just a giddy time on Wall Street?
Well, it's possible. I mean, my gosh, expectations have seesawed back and forth like crazy. I mean, remember, it was 6 or 7 a year ago, or when we entered this year. As recently as a month ago, it was 1. I'd say one or two is probably more likely, but, you know, let them have their fun if everybody wants. I would say this. If people are expecting three rate cuts, then they're talking about the economy slowing even further and basically going into a period of stagnation. I don't see any justification for three cuts other than that.
And I do not see the word recession anywhere. I've been searching. Have you seen it recently?
No, there is not an expectation of that. The Fed Atlanta GDP number actually increased in the last couple of weeks to 2% from 1.5%. That's for the second quarter. Doesn't mean the third quarter won't see some flattening. But, you know, the retail sales number today was better than expected. It is a very strange time, John, because half the country is visibly struggling. That's what all the surveys show. That's what the credit card delinquencies show, et cetera. Lower income Americans are really having a problem. Higher income Americans who own stocks and own homes and are very much buoyed up by their net worth increasing, they are continuing to spend and they have the wherewithal to do it. So it is a very bifurcated economy. So that probably staves off recession. It doesn't mean that we won't have lower growth, though.
Elizabeth Peake writes a column for The Hill, column for Fox News, much on Fox Business, commenting on the American economy. We're going to turn to an aspect of the American economy, what Bloomberg calls the Trump trade. What is it? What does it mean about the immediate future, given that there's a binary coming up? It's called the election in the United States. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Beck.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/football fuel points TC.